chapter 2, James chapter 2 this evening. And James chapter 2 and verse 21, James chapter 2 and verse 21. And we're going to continue our focus on Abraham. And James chapter 2 and verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then, how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now Father, again, thank you for the word of God. And I pray as we continue looking here, we would see something that we need to see. And Lord, remind us of those things we ought to remember. And Lord, help us to accomplish what we should do in your name. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now listen. When we look at this passage, he says in verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, there's a question there. And it's a question to us. It's asking us a question about Abraham. And you may say, well, now, wait a minute. Preacher, over in Romans chapter 4 this morning, in Romans chapter 4, you preached, and it says, For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And so, which is it? Was he justified by his works, or was he not? And the answer is very simply is that Abraham was not justified by his works. Not before God. But we look at his life, and we look at his deeds, and that is how we see his faith. God does not need your works to see your faith. He knows if it's there and it's genuine or not. But in order for us to see that, he's justified by his works, in a sense, because it says that seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Alright? That word perfect means full or mature or complete. Works are the completion of faith. There was a thief on Calvary's cross. In fact, there were two thieves on Calvary's cross, right? And two malefactors, if you will. One on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them said, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. And the other one said, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we receive the just reward of our works, the just due of our works. We receive what we're getting, what we deserve. But this man had done nothing amiss. So we're hanging on this cross dying, and it's just because we deserve it. But he doesn't deserve it. Then he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus did not need that man to do any particular works to see his faith, that his faith was genuine. Matter of fact, it's by what Jesus said that we know that that thief's faith was genuine. Likewise, though, Abraham's works are what show us, what God recorded to show us, to show mankind, that his faith was genuine. In Hebrews it said that he accounted that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure, by the sacrifice of that ram that was caught in the thicket there that God showed him. And so we look at that. Now, God doesn't need your works to tell whether your faith is genuine. But you need works to prove that your faith is genuine. See, God already knows that if it's genuine faith, it will produce works. It will produce works based on what you believe. We all act according to what we believe. And when it comes to this, when we talk about faith, here's the thing about this. And Abraham's faith, when we look at Abraham, and we see that, excuse me, against hope, he believed in hope. And that, because of that, because he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Because he believed that with all his heart. That was imputed unto him for righteousness, that faith, because God saw it. I will remind you that when you go into the Old Testament, if you go in there, it says that Abram believed in the Lord, and he imputed unto him for righteousness. That was before Abraham did anything. That was before Abraham offered up Isaac. So there is the picture. See, God imputed it long before Abraham ever bothered to take his son at God's command and take him to that altar of Mount Moriah. God sees, God knows. But don't deceive yourself. You can say you have faith, but if your faith produces no work, you're lying. If your faith does not produce the works that God wants us to do, if we don't do the things He says to do, we are lying to ourselves. Because that's the only way you can justify in your own heart that your faith is genuine. You wonder why so many people have doubts about their salvation and doubts about God and doubts about God's promises. 99% of it is right here. That's the absolute truth. It is an absolute fact that the people whose faith, we always talk about people stepping out by faith and doing what God says, the people whose faith is sufficient for them to simply do what God says, or attempt to do what God says, they are the people that whose faith increases. The people who are too timid for whatever reason, for fear of man or whatever the case may be, to simply try to do what God says to do, They are the ones who live in doubt and fear. And that's a fact. You see, the devil will try to get you to fear to obey God, to put your faith into actual action, to make your faith perfect or complete. He tries to make you fear so that way he can make sure you live in fear. And the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So how do we move forward on that? There's an old adage. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with what? A single what? Step. And you have to obey God somewhere. You know, that's another thing that the devil likes to do. There may be 50 things that you're not obeying God in right now. But if you're ever going to turn that around, you got to start somewhere, don't you? But the devil's like, well, I'm not obeying God in all these things. You're not obeying God here and here and here and here and here and here. What am I going to do? I'm in such bad trouble with God. I've fallen out with God. Lost out with God. Well, how do you get out of it? Pick one. Trust God. Do it. That's how you get out of it. Got to start somewhere, don't you? You know, the old, we used to always like to say, when you find yourself in a hole, first thing to do is stop digging. Yeah. You know, lay down the shovel. And that's the thing that we need to understand. When we look at this thing, this whole thing, we can sit there and talk about it, but you know, if we're ever going to get to the point of having faith like Abraham had, it's got to start somewhere. We've got to take a step forward. If you want to have genuine faith, that faith will make a difference. It will cause action if it's genuine. And you have to start somewhere. Everybody has to start believing God somewhere. For us, it's supposed to be at salvation, right? When we get saved, we believe God, we call upon the Lord and repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon Him for salvation. And at that point, we're supposed to, that's our starting point. But when we fail, we have to move forward. It might start at an altar, coming forward and confessing your sin. And then that's the starting point. But once you've taken one step, you have to take the next one, don't you? Let me ask you a question. If Abraham had refused. And by the way, how do we know that God didn't offer to somebody else what He offered to Abraham before He offered it to Abraham? We're not told. We're just told the things about that. Maybe God said to somebody else before He ever said anything to Abraham, go out of your country and take you to the land that you inherit. But if Abraham had not left Would he have ever gotten the promise? Of the chosen seed? No. It all happened one thing at a time, didn't it? His steps were bigger than ours, by the way. In many ways. As far as I know, God hasn't told any of us here. God hasn't told any of us here to get up and leave our family and our country and go out. But we've got some pictures and letters of people on the wall that he has, don't we? So how do I get to this point of having the faith of Abraham? You have to start by starting somewhere. By taking one step of faith. What is it that you know that you're not doing that God wants you to do? Or what has God spoke to your heart about you needing to do? And you're not doing. What have you seen in the Word of God that you're supposed to do? And are not doing. What have you seen in the Word of God that God said don't do and you're still doing? I've known a heap of people that made professions of faith, but they won't take the next step because they're afraid of what their family's going to say. I've told the story about a fellow that I led to the Lord here. He made a profession of faith right here in Moss Point. Been going to church all his life, and nobody ever showed him clearly from the Bible how to be saved. He had been sitting in that church since he was a child. And he said, nobody's ever showed me that, preacher. And I told him, I said, well, if you're in a church that they haven't even told you how to be saved, I said, maybe you need to get out of that church. Maybe there's a lot of other things they're not telling you. And I invited him to church. And his answer to me was, well, preacher, I've been going to that church all my life. All of my family goes there. You know, if he'd have stepped out by faith and left that church, which had never told him how to be saved, and probably never told any of his family how to be saved, wonder if more of his family might have gotten saved. And I don't know, maybe God worked on his heart and finally he found a church and went to a Bible-believing church, and I pray that he did, but as far as I know, he didn't. I've seen that repeated many, many times. You say, was he genuinely saved? I don't know. I'm not God. Can't see anybody's heart. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart, right? So I can't see that. I don't know. But all I do know is that he never took a step forward, as far as I know. And then sometimes we start out well and we stop. You know, Jesus compared faith as a mustard seed. And he said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. In another place he talked about a mustard seed. He compared the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Right? It's the least of all herbs. But once it grows up, boy, it becomes a place for the fowls of the air and everything. It grows. It gets bigger. Faith is supposed to grow. It's supposed to continue. It's supposed to increase. It's supposed to become normal and natural. One thing I know about Abraham, his faith in his God continued to increase. We see that. If you go with me over to the book of Genesis, God gives us a testimony about Brother Abraham that to me is just amazing. This is before he did all of this, before he did all of these things to with Isaac and all the things that happened. And in verse 17, after the angels that destroyed Sodom had come to visit Abraham and he had taken care of them, and he said this after God gave him the promise of that. In verse 17, it's Genesis chapter 18, he said, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after them, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And then he tells them about Sodom, and then we have that great part of that chapter where Abraham pleads for Sodom and Gomorrah and for Lot. But notice what God says about him. He says, "I know him." Now we're seeing it from God's perspective, because God saw that his faith was genuine and his faith was going to grow. And faith only grows unless if it's applied, if it's followed through, if it's accompanied by works. And Abram, of course, did that. We see his works later on. But God knows that. And then we see what happened. And he instructed his children, did he not? He instructed Isaac. And then Isaac instructed Jacob. And Jacob instructed his children. And we see the nation of Israel. We see the things that have been done there. God gives us a picture of Abraham. And what's the picture that God gives us? He gives us of a man whose faith continued to increase, who would command his children. You know, one of the hardest things, and you can even look at Abraham and the problem he had with Sarah over Hagar. First, because Sarah insisted that he take Hagar as a wife, as a concubine, and then afterwards, Sarah's jealousy and anger. After she had conceived and born Isaac, he had family trouble. He had trouble with his neighbors, trouble with his kinfolk. Watched his kinfolk make bad decisions. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Then ended up in Sodom. Abraham had to go to war to rescue Lot, and finds himself pleading before God for Lot, doesn't he? But we see Abraham's faith grow in proportion to the works he performs by faith. And that's not really anything amazing to think about. If we go back to the book of Romans, it explains that to us, I think, very well. I'm Trying to remember passage of scripture it is, but I'll find it here in a moment. If I can find the passage I'm looking for, just thought about it there. Romans chapter 5, the next chapter, where he says, therefore being justified by faith, verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us, and that is to, as we go through and exercise patience and believing God and continuing to behave like people that believe God, that patience works experience, and that experience works hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So that experience, that patience, that endurance, if you will, of staying by, like the old people say, staying by the stuff and continuing to do right, continuing to serve God, it brings experience. And experience is where we find out where we can trust. I have an issue with some people that have been working on my air conditioner. My experience hadn't been very good. And I'm not feeling very trustful that they're going to hold up their end of the bargain right now. And I'm still trying to do what's right, even though sometimes I'm mad. You know, you get mad, you feel like, man, you'd like to repay them in kind, but no, we're not going to do that. We're going to try to work things out, try to get things done. But you know, if it would come down to it, I don't believe I'd hire them again. Nor would I recommend them. My experience hadn't been bad. Good. But you can't have a good experience with God if you don't trust God. By the way, that's what the devil wants. He doesn't want you to have a good experience with God. That's why he wants you to just say you believe and not follow through. Because he knows as long as we don't follow through, we won't gain the level of faith that we need. And he doesn't want that, because when we look at the armor of God, one of the things that we're supposed to do is do what? We're supposed to take the shield of faith, whereby we can do what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So if your faith does not grow, you don't have protection. You're easier for him to attack. Hello? Strategically, I think he's not very... He's pretty smart. I think he's got it figured out. Because as long as you and I, he can convince you and I that we just have to say we believe and never do anything, never hit a lick, and never step forward, and as long as we don't follow through, we'll never get to the point to where we have that type of faith. I mean, even the apostles were smart enough to say, Lord, increase our faith. And he said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard, you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and it would obey you. If you have genuine faith, you're going to move forward. It's going to result in some type of action. But if I were to pair you off, right? I would say, Brother Larry, you and Brother Curtis are going to have a gladiator fight. Hand to hand, mortal combat. combat. I give you a sword, a nice big old broad sword, and I give Brother Curtis a nice big old broad sword, and I set down two shields in front of you. And I put down one shield's about this big, about 1 foot by 1 foot, and the other one's about 2 foot by 3 foot. Which shield are you going to choose, Brother Curtis? You're going to choose the big one. Matter of fact, we'd probably see both of y'all, if y'all thought it was serious and you had to do it, we'd see both of y'all probably move faster than we've ever seen you move to get the shield you wanted, right? That's just common sense, isn't it? I'm just trying to draw you a word picture and get you to see and pick this out, because the devil wants you to have a little bitty shield. Faith starts small, but it grows when we live by faith. It grows when our faith turns into actions. Because that's how we learn to trust God. I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just trying to remind you. Boy, if there's ever a time where we need to live by faith, I think we're kind of getting there, aren't we? I know everybody's moaning and groaning how bad it is, but you do know it can and probably will get a lot worse. Maybe not in our lifetime, but it's coming. By the way, we're just about to enter the seventh month of the current administration's policies. And inflation is already pushing 6%. That means your money is 6% less valuable than it was when you started. And in real dollars, that means look at the price of everything that's going up. Look at the price of lumber. Look at the price of gas. Look at the price of food. Everything's going up. Why is it going up? Well, do you realize if we have 6% of inflation, 5-6% of inflation every 6 months, realize by the end of 4 years, or we could be, that's a lot of inflation. That's like, it's what, we're going to get around 40% inflation. That means that's going to hurt. That's not the worst thing that could happen. Now, I don't know that it'll be that way. There may be things that happen to turn it around. There may be a lot of different things that happen, but I'm just going by what we have now. If you look at that, how bad it could get. Just using numbers, just crunching numbers that we know, how bad it could get. That would impact us, you know, impact all of our livelihoods. It'd impact all of our pocketbooks, wouldn't it? What are you going to do about it? Well, I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. You can live by faith. We can continue. Or start again. Just simply believing God and trusting Him enough, believing Him enough to just simply go out and do what He said to do. And you say, boy, I've dug such a big hole. Pick one. Start somewhere. Just pick one thing. Accomplish it. Once you've done that, go to the next. That's how you do it. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But the proof was that he believed God for us. The proof that I believe God for me and you is that we obey. trust Him enough to obey His word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out today. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the picture of Abraham and seeing him as the picture of faith. And Lord, I just pray that You would open our eyes to truth. Lord, You know each person of things that You've wanted us to do. And Lord, maybe things that we used to do and we don't do them any longer. Could be things that we've been afraid to do and we've talked ourselves out of doing. Lord, we just pray that You'd help us to just believe Your word, to trust Your character and Your nature, to trust Your promises and step forward and just simply do what You want us to do. Help us in that regard. And Father, as we go today, we have a whole week before us, and You know what's coming and we don't. So help us to trust You and just continue to do what we're supposed to do. Help us to pray for one another as we ought. Help us to see the need to open the Word of God and study every day. Help us, Lord, to see the need to be soul winners and try to witness to people and get the gospel out. Help us, Lord, to see the need and the necessity to simply treat other people the way You want us to treat them. And regardless what others do to us, that we behave in the manner that You say we should behave. We thank You, Father. Help us to trust You. Help us to accomplish Your will. Help us to live by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed, and we will...